Welcome to episode 75 of Sound Out Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I'm getting better at Transformers.
And this week, we discuss Lost Light, Issue 6.
What's Megatron running at? Why is he yelling? What happened?
He's in a race.
Is he racing? Who's he racing against? Is it Blur?
It is Blur.
Because it seems like the kind of thing Blur would be better at, but maybe that's why he looks so angry.
It's his determination.
It's a willpower thing.
That's right. Like, that's right.
Like, this is very knows. Much... Like, I thought it was really interesting that Lost Light did 5 issues of an arc and then a spin-off issue where mm-hmm. Superman races the Flash.
Right. But, like, that's the kind of wild stuff you get from James Roberts.
The man is a virtuoso. He's throwing you curveballs.
All the time. Stay on your toes, everybody.
Keep up. He's definitely jumping away from some kind of explosion.
We do know. Yeah. And, like, kind of where we left off, as if anybody needs reminders. Everything is popping off on this alt Cybertron right
now.
It's
the climax.
It really, really is. We'll get to where Megatron left off here in a bit. Where we pick up here, the important thing to remember is that we left off in a Rocky-style standoff between Rodimus and Rung.
Mm-hmm. Those boys was about to come to blows.
They really, really were. People were buying their ringside seats. And right. We all had a pretty good idea of how this was about to go down. And I think we get some immediate payoff there.
I mean, this is why boxing has weight classes, right?
Yes, like, yes. This is the absolute example of why that is.
The featherweight against the welterweight. Like, I don't know where welterweight actually stands.
No, I have no idea.
I don't think Rod would be a heavyweight, right?
No, certainly not. Look at him. He's too lithe.
Maybe there's only feather, welter, and heavy boxing. Who cares? That's not what this show is about.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's go. Let's go. So yes, we are back in the cog. We see these two boys facing off.
And the reason that they're fighting, Rung wants to use Luna 2 wants to use the cog to destroy Luna 2.
Yes.
And Rod is like, well, we can't really have that because then I can't get home.
Right. There's a transporter on Luna 2 that he and the rest of the Megatron entourage have to use to get back to Brainstorm. Because Brainstorm was like, listen, I can get us all back to our own universe. You guys just got to get back to me. So right now they have to get back to Necroworld, and they can do that if they get to the teleporter on Luna 2.
In screenwriting classes, this is what is called a conflict.
Mm.
And of course, the only way to solve conflict is by punching a little guy in the face.
Oh
really
my
hard.
God, he cold cocks him right across
I don't
the
even,
face.
I can't even really tell what that thing he's saying in onomatopoeia. It looks like a her, but it's like, kind of tough to read, actually.
Yeah, I don't, but just imagine, I don't know.
The man gets socked in the jaw. Imagine a man socking a man in the jaw.
That, and that's the sound that Rung makes. Because, yeah, like, even when we do look at them side by side, like, Rodimus is not big. Like, luckily, kind of the direction that has been taken with Rodimus, with Alex, and now with Jack, kind of stems from, I think this actually stems from the way Nick tends to draw him, which is a little bit more slight. Like, he's not as big as... like Optimus or Megatron, or even people like I'm trying to think, like Whirl is bigger than Rodimus.
Right. Yeah, I would say were it humans, he's sort of a Green Arrow type build.
There you go. But yeah, Rung still very even smaller, even more.
He's a skinny boy.
He's a waifish kind of bot. So when Rod hits him, it's,
he sends him across the room.
Poor Rung. And rewind, who is a teensy boy. Rung is not on the level of teensy boy, but he's very slight. But rewind, who has punched Rodimus before, so he knows what's up. he's rightfully is like, what the hell are you doing? And Rod, he's got the bloodlust and he comes out of it and he's like, oh God, what am I doing? He
right.
has this clarification. Like, Rewind
is like, here's my line for the issue. I will say this panel here where Rewind is sort of breaking up the fight. If you take it out of context, Rod kind of looks like he's doing Magic Mike moves right here.
I've not seen Magic Mike. I will take your word for it.
Well, it's about male strippers, and Rod kind of is doing a male stripper pelvic thrust here.
I'm into it.
I know that he's, like, trying to back off of the scene. I'm not saying it's bad art. I'm not saying that it's even misrepresented. I'm saying this is where my head is at.
And it could be both.
Why not?
I mean, it is Rodimus. It is Rodimus. It is written by Jace.
There you go. There you go. Yes, as you said, Rod sort of snaps out of his, like, why did I just punch Rung?
Like, oh, shit, that's not like me, which, well, sometimes. And then we cut to what's happening below the cog. And if we will remember where we left off with Megatron, he and Terminus were still in the Statue of Adaptus. And we saw last time that finally kind of gave way to the tractor beams of Luna 2. And so Megatron is just trying to hold on and resist being pulled up towards the moon. And then we see from down below, somehow Terminus got free enough that he's kind of
he's chasing after and trying to save Megatron.
Yeah.
And
in this wide kind of shot, we have Terminus heading for these guns, and we can see the teeny tiny, it looks tiny to us, the cog moving towards Luna 2, which seeing it like this, I'm like, oh shoot, how much damage do you guys think you're really going to do? Like,
yeah,
it's not big. But
not big.
Yeah. We have Chrome Dome kind of saying, okay, Rod, we're about like 60 seconds till we crash. What do we do? What do you want from us?
And Rod is saying, like, you know what? I got the bloodlust out of my system. I'll stay here. Me and Rung here will use the cog. You get everybody off the ship. I'm an Autobot, so I'm gonna make a valiant sacrifice. That's what we do.
Yeah, he's offering to sacrifice. Like, he's gonna stay here, and it is sweet. He's good boy, Rod. He's helping Rung back up. Poor Rung just looks fucking thrashed. Which, of course, he's already been through so much, and now Rod has just socked him right across the face.
What a day.
What a day for Rung. And then a purple laser shoots right through the cog.
He does not get the opportunity to make a big valiant sacrifice.
But he tried. And I do appreciate him having that mindset that, like, I'm going to let the rest of my boys go.
They'll figure it out.
And do my thing. You know what? They would. Like, I doubt this all comes down to Rodimus figuring things out. Just to throw that out there. If that's what we're basing this on, yikes.
Yes, and Chrome Dome gets his line in the issue, by the way, as well.
Thank goodness.
But they're both sort of knocked away there, and we see that the laser being blasted through the cog right now is from good old Terminus.
Yeah, he's chooming up towards the moon, giving a brack a boom, and he does hit. So he's aiming and firing at the moon. He hits the cog in the process. Which is also, and they kind of mention this in passing just briefly, as far as he knows, the cog is bad. So, like, go ahead and hit that shit. He doesn't know all his friends are on there. But it does work. Megatron is released from this pull. He goes falling from wherever he was holding on. And we can see in the background as he falls, we can see the cog is falling and it just crashes.
I bet you'd all like to know what happens next, and that's why we're going to Necro World.
We're gonna hop back over to these fields of beautiful blue murder flowers.
Love those murder flowers. I also really love seeing Kaput leaning into his unicycle mode here.
Yeah. He looks very cute.
We don't get a lot of wide shots of Kaput, so it's always fun.
We don't. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, look at him go. I have to say, though, every time I see people walking through the flowers, I'm always like, oh, be careful.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a dude. Those are people. That's like, these are corpses.
Motoring right through. I'm like,
He's like, whatever, that guy probably sucked.
That guy looked like a real jerk. But yeah, we have kind of our female identifying group here. We have Nautica and Velocity and Anode, and they're being led somewhere in these fields of blue flowers by
Kaput.
By Kaput, thank you.
And yeah, and Velocity is trying to be nice because we remember she was not super nice before.
She was kind of on Anode's case, and then we got a revelation about Anode last time, which was that she had been hallucinating.
Yes. So absolutely, she hallucinated the presence of Lug that whole time.
Yeah.
And not only that, but she also revealed to the hallucinated presence of Lug that the heist she committed essentially was framing herself so that she would be ostracized from a community.
Yes. So, like, Anode's already been through some shit. And that community from which she ostracized herself, Velocity was part of that. So that is where Velocity already had some sort of bad blood, a little bit between them. Like, not directly, but it kind of in a way of, like, hey, you fucked over our school, and Anode knows she didn't. She was just trying to get out of her contract, essentially, of having to be there. And she had admitted all of this to Lug, who then we learned. A lot of people already knew. I was taken by surprise to learn that Lug was, in fact, just a figment of Anode's time sickness.
And yes, Velocity.
Whatever they're calling it.
Right. Yeah. I think time sickness was it. And Velocity is saying, like, hey, if you need a buddy. And Anna's like, really not in a buddy space right now.
And then Velocity's like, well, if you need some drugs, we got those too. If you need some help coping, I can help you out with that. I imagine Nautica's behind
just hands her a giant fucking joint.
Nautica's just shaking her head, just like grumbling behind him, like, don't you push your drugs on her. Quit pushing drugs to make us forget.
Speaking of Nautica, she's like, hey, I think this is yours. Yeah, and it's the Sentio Metallico.
Yeah, that pretty little snowflake that she had. And Nautica does take this moment to kind of be like, listen, I get how much this sucks. You clearly care about somebody and that they were here and they're not here. I know how you feel. And of course, we know she's talking about Skids, who is the best, sweetest robot. And we lost him recently. Yeah, she's trying to reach out to Anode here, and Anode's just kind of like
very politely, sure. Like, yeah, I believe you. Like,
yeah, great. Like, okay. Thank you for this. I appreciate it.
Which so is you fine. Probably also do not want to talk much.
Yeah, let's all come together by not talking about our shit. Huh? How about that? And that then Kaput is like, yeah. And then Kaput is like, okay, I brought you here. And Anode's like, great. Here, which is the same as everywhere else on this planet, which is to say a field of blue flowers. Fantastic. Why the fuck am I still here? And he's like, okay, shush.
He's like, hey, you dumb idiot.
Like, listen, I'm trying to help you.
All these flowers I've been rolling over are people, and they're all fucking dead. And guess what this one is?
This one.
And of course, it's Lug.
It's Chagirl. And he asks her, do you want to know how she died? Which, of course, we all do. And then we cut back.
So that's why we'll find out in a couple pages from now.
First, we got to go back to the Foom Fooms happening over on Cybertron. Alt-Cybertron. Yeah.
Luna 2 is shooting some goddarn lasers.
Luna 2 is just going at it. And we have, okay, so everybody now that was on the cog, they're all waking up and, like, coming around. And we have Drift kind of helping up Ratchet. I'm sure that made a lot of people very happy. I'm happy
they're
for
you. They're definitely holding hands.
They're totally holding hands here. So Drift has just woken up. He saw Ratchet. He's helping Ratchet up. And they're like, well, there's Rung. Like, they're kind of trying to, okay, head count. Where are people? Rung's there. And, Rung is kind of, he's got a new little set of determination on him now. He's like, okay, we can still do this. We lost the cog, but I got another idea for how to take Luna 2.
He's like, yeah, the cog, I wasn't super confident about that plan, but this plan, I know it's going to work. It's just going to really suck.
It's going to suck real bad. And Ratchet also knows how bad this is going to suck. And he's like, nope, stop. Hey, don't even do that. And, of course, we're all kind of like, what's he up to? What exactly are you getting up to here, Rung? And Ratchet is just trying to talk him out of it.
You are going to die, and it is going to hurt the entire time.
Right. Either you die quickly or you die slowly. Either way, you're going to die. And he does say it'll be very painful, pain like you've never experienced. And Rung says, oh, you'd be surprised because, I mean, for what it's worth, Ratch, he's been through some hell. So, yeah.
It's tough to earn a line like that, where it's like, you wouldn't understand the pain I've been through, but he's been through some pain.
Right. This is one of those where we hear it and we're like, yeah,
He's not being Sasuke from Naruto right now. He's
he is not. This is not Uchiha Run. This is not like he's genuinely been like tortured for the past who even knows how long. Dude knows how to handle some pain.
And luckily, we'll figure out exactly what he's talking about in a minute.
Yeah. Now we get to hop back very quickly, sadly, to learn how Lug died. Nautica does try. She's like, hold on. Maybe no. Maybe don't do this. And Anna's like, shh, no. I want to know what happened. And we learn. We learn that, yeah, it was, if we recall, even when we see, like, when we were introed to Anna.
Right, like the very first pages of Lost Light.
Yeah. We had these girls, and they were looking for the Sentio Metallica, which they found, and Lug built the force field around them because they were being attacked.
Right, yes.
And we learned that a collapsing force field overloaded her systems, and that's how Lug died, which is super, ugh, sorry, Anode, that fucking blows.
Not a good look.
No.
And of course, the Necrobot is there, and he says, Kaput tells them the Necrobot found her moments before the end and prepared her for the Afterspark by performing the rites of transition. And Anode is like, well, she wasn't religious, so fuck that. And second, why did you bring me out here for this?
Yes, she's. I appreciate this writing of Anode. She's very defensive, which I appreciate because it's very realistic. Because, you know, not everybody's going to be very soft and very, like, understanding. Like, she's mad, and she has every right to be, because she's in a strange place with strange people. This person she loved is not here with her, and she thought she was. So I appreciate that Anode is kind of a dick to everybody, which sounds mean, but I appreciate it. I feel that that's realistic.
Right, it's earned.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, she's like, why, you could have just told me that back at the fortress. Why did you bring me all the way out here? And Kaput lets her know. He says that, and he explains the whole thing about the murder flowers, is that, like, the Necrobot would take samples of their spark energy and put it into the flowers. And so he's saying, yes, that this is her. She's in here. And he thought that maybe it would help Anode to kind of get some closure, to say goodbye. And she immediately goes somewhere else with it, which
right.
is...
Right, she pulls out Chekhov's snowflake, and there you go. We get some
she's like, everybody on me.
Everybody's kind of been, I think, thinking about ever since these flowers were introduced as a concept.
The flowers and the Sentio Metallico, which we'll get more on that as it happens, because you know more is going to unfold here in a bit. But first, back to Cybertron.
Yeah, we got other things to do.
Lot happening in both of these stories. There's Anode again.
I do love this, that running into the cog, Terminus is like, sorry, I didn't know you guys were here.
That was me.
I definitely shot you guys, but like, I thought, come on, like...
I definitely did this. I apologize. Did not know you all were in there.
And Rod is like, yeah, okay, we got other things to worry about right now.
Yeah. And they do have so many other things to worry about. And also, we got a call.
Right.
And I just love this moment. It's Minimus saying, we have a call from Brainstorm. And we just got to read this, right?
Go ahead.
Brainstorm says, and Minimus quotes, you've got 20 minutes to get your backsides back to Necroworld before Killmaster's Miracle Stick runs out of super juice and you're stuck in that nonsense verse forever. And Rod, of course, is like, what? And Minimus says, please, I don't want to say that again. Please don't make me say that again. And I just want to say, sidebar, let's all just thank our stars that Magnus is here. Like, I'm just so
glad.
Yeah,
he gets a line in the issue, too.
Good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he was on the phones.
I do really like the idea that it's phrased that way, because Brainstorm was like, what's the simplest, dumbest way I can put this so they'll understand it? And they still didn't understand it.
And it's still like, what? What do you want me to do? But yes, the big takeaway here is 20 minutes, everybody.
Yeah.
Come on. That's not a lot of time.
But of course, in that 20 minutes, we have to stand agape for a minute because Rod sees something everyone is pretty impressed by.
Everyone is very impressed by it. And he just kind of points because Minimus is like, what are you looking at? What's wrong? And right behind him, giant Rung.
Yeah, Rung is the size of Luna 2. Yes. And it looks like the old Superman versus Muhammad Ali cover where they're about to start boxing, except one of them is a moon.
A lot of boxing, yeah.
I guess there's a lot of punching.
There's so much punching in these books.
It's the climax. Sometimes you gotta punch.
He's like holding on to Luna 2 with one hand and about to just sock Luna 2 with the other. And this, of course, very, very... well-placed we get our title. This is, of course, part six of Dissolution, This Machine Kills Fascists. So,
Woody Guthrie references, everybody.
There you go.
Yeah, Rung is about to punch the moon apart. Give it the old what for. And we will see the results of that in a page or two.
Yes, first we have to hop back. Now we are back in the fortress, the Necrobot's fortress. And
Giving birth, essentially.
Because Kaput did explain, and we kind of glossed over this, he did explain that, like, he understands spark energy. Like, that's why he knew. He could follow kind of the traces of what the Necrobot had already done with placing the sparks in the flowers. He's like, listen, I get all of this. So
this is my job.
Yeah. So they've taken the spark back to the lab here, or what have you. And he's saying that, yes, Lug's spark is in here. I can isolate it, but we have maybe a second for it to exist outside of this flower.
Right. And pulling it out of there is like he said, it was the last traces of it. So
yes, there it's you go. Just a bit of
a flickering spark.
Yes.
And so Anode is saying, like, no problem. I can work with that. The Senio Metallica will be an incubator. I just need to get everything right and keep it that way for just a couple minutes.
Yeah. She's essentially trying to regrow Lug.
It's like cloning, right? Like
a little bit. Yeah. And I want to make a reference, but it's a spoiler for another thing that we love very much, The Adventure Zone. And I won't do that.
See, I was going to make a Venture Brothers reference because 24 gets killed and 21 is like, all right, I have to clone him. And he goes to Dr. Venture and Venture's like, you know, he's going to be like a baby, right? It's not going to be like your friend. He's like, then I will raise him as my own.
Aw, I didn't even get to those ones. That's adorable. Yeah, I love it.
Like
them.
Season 4. Sorry, oh, 24
no.
dies.
I did know that 24 died. I didn't know about the whole cloning thing. We're fine. That show, I don't even remember where I left off on Venture Brothers, but I do love it. But yeah, it's, though with Transformers, of course, they don't really have like baby stages. They're just...
Right.
So like, she doesn't have to worry about essentially raising Lug. It's almost like... It's similar to, I want to say, in this very comic, in More Than Meets the Eye, we had, if you think about it, like Megatron's body that was initially going to house just a spark, and then Rewind killed that spark, and then Whirl said, nope, I'm going to give it this super spark, and thus created Megatron as we know him. At least, you know, like a little bit, like it was the same body, but there were two different beings who were potentially going to live there.
Speaking of Rewind, I was going to go in a different direction and say, like, it's kind of going to be like bringing in Rewind from the other universe, because it's like kind of going to be the person that you want it to be, but also mostly not.
But I don't know, though. See, I feel like with Lug, it's the fact that this is her spark. I mean, and we'll have to see, of course. But
right.
I feel
There's
like it would be like,
ways
it's just a, her in a new body, which is why.
I want, like you said, exactly. This is the kind of thing we'll have to wait and see. Because my guess was like, okay, transformation cog helps you transform. Like, that's where your transform is. The spark is like your soul. And then like, memories and identity is the brain module.
But
it's possible that all of that stuff is in the spark, so I don't know. Like,
there's, I don't know. But see, this is where I'm like, knows? This is actually a very good, this works with the Adventure Zone reference I was going to make. But I won't make it. I won't say. Sure. I won't go into depth there. But yeah, so a plethora of different references you can make to what exactly is potentially happening here with Lug and her, and it's like her trace spark energy. That's where it's a little up in the air, because he doesn't, you know, it's not like they have her spark.
Right.
It's traces of her spark energy or of her spark that we are trying to put now into essentially the Cybertron baby.
I mean, best case scenario, she doesn't remember anything that's happened since the beginning of this comic, right? Like,
Right. I imagine it would just pick up where she died.
Right, exactly. So, like, none of the stuff that Anode has told her.
Oh, certainly not. Right, because that was all just, like, too...
hallucination.
It's not the same as, like, Bumblebee talking to Starscream.
Right.
Which is, like, Bumblebee's going to come out of, like, Crystal City as it is and be like, oh, boy, I know.
No, trust me. I know what's going on.
About your boy. Yeah. He's going to be like... knowing winks to Starscream all
it's
the time.
Your boy Goldbug.
Here I am. That's totally, like, yes, this is definitely different. What Anode was seeing was not, like, a shadow version of Lug.
Right,
it was
exactly.
Really just her hallucinating. At least that's the impression that I get. Who fucking knows what James is up to?
and we do have a pretty cool sequence of the snowflake, like, expanding and becoming a thing.
Yeah, we see her working with it. Yeah, doing what she has told us she's so good at doing. But we also saw her fuck it up, which is why it's like, ooh, can she do it?
So she needs to get it right now.
Yeah, and she even kind of looks to Velocity for reassurance for a moment, because she's like... it's like, this is like an assisted birth, right? Like, this is just like helping along, which
there's
is what
nothing
she described
I need
before.
To figure out that's gonna be different, right?
Yeah. And Lottie's like, this is your area. I don't know. Anode starts to say, like, almost, she kind of touches on this being the reason why she left the lighthouse, but then we remember, right, that's what she told Lug. So
right.
Nobody else knows this still. This is still something that she has kept to herself. And so she quickly is like, oh, never mind.
And so we see the results of what happens, and we get all sorts of information about what is the result of this and everything that's going to happen a couple pages from now. First, let's go see Rung punch the moon.
Yes, we do see, yes, there at the end, she says, kaput, let it go. And we do see some energy going from the flower to that snowflake. And then, yep, like you said, back to Rung duking it out with Luna too.
Just straight up, like, punching it. Not just, like, it's, it's not anything. He doesn't have a weapon. He's not trying
to,
because
it's our little boy Rung. It's our good boy Rung. He's not built for fighting.
Rod is saying,
the phone. Yeah.
Yes, he's speaking to Brainstorm on the phone saying, he punched the moon.
He's just like, oh my God, Brainstorm, you gotta, I can't even, oh my God. He's trying to talk to Brainstorm, but also, like, understandably, just very much engaged with what's happening in front of him. And Drift doesn't even know, like, what, how is this even happening? Ratchet tries, like, Ratchet explains, he's saying, it's mass displacement. And he's saying when the mass displacement generator is wired directly into the neural cluster, you can do kind of whatever you want.
Right.
It just gets more dangerous and more painful the bigger that you get, which is why he was trying to tell Rung no.
Yeah, don't do it because you'll die from pain. And Rung does not seem to mind too much, even though he's getting sort of shot by the moon.
Punk Rung is definitely, like, that dude's hot. Like,
that dude's hot. No getting around that one.
No getting around it, you guys.
And Brainstorm is like, yes, okay. I know this is very cool, but please.
It sounds amazing.
We are in
just
the middle of something.
In. Yeah, be here with me. Be here with me. Eyes on me. Come on, Roddy. And so
he's like, I need you to get into that moon. And they're like, oh, we can get in the moon. That's not the issue.
But that's not.
And I was like, well, what is the issue? The issue is we need to destroy the moon first.
Right. Rod is saying they can't leave until they've destroyed Luna 2, but if they destroy Luna 2, they won't have the transporter. And he keeps saying quid pro quo, which he's using completely incorrectly, and it's adorable.
Yeah, and Minimus is calling him out on that. He's like, that's definitely not what that means.
Leave it up to his dad to be like, you're not using that properly. And Rod, of course, is like, shush, I don't have time for that.
I'm working
gonna
on
this. I'm going
to
use the words I use.
And we get, I think, a pretty important thing to get here from Clicker. And
some very interesting insight here
from good
Clicker.
Old Matt tonight.
Yeah, we get another really great shot of, like, Rung, angry Punk Rung, facing off against Luna 2. And, from the ground, we get Clicker.
He's like, I guess it's all right. Not really what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I liked him better when he did nothing.
Right, and he's
doing
saying
something.
Right, and this is Megatron's chance to shine as well. Clicker says, if he has a function, then everybody has a function, and that means functionism is right. And Megatron is saying, like, well, no, that's not at all what functionism is. Functionism is...
The reverse of functionism isn't
right,
having
yes.
a purpose. It's
He's saying functionism is imposing a will on you. So yes. having a function should not mean that a will is imposed on you.
Yes. The opposite of functionism is choice. And he's saying it's about doing what you want, not just what you were born to do or born or told to do or what society expects you to do. It's our good, good boy Megatron doing exactly what this show heralds him for and thinks very highly of him for. And yeah, he says no one can decide how you live your life except for you. And that is what he is telling Clicker. Like, even if this is Rung's purpose is to save Adaptica and all these other bots. Sure, that means that now, yes, he's been given a purpose. That does not mean that he defines functionism. That does not mean that he falls into what functionism is. And that's the takeaway here.
And after those three panels, we get a pretty good little moment with Roller. It's like, why don't we just take the moon with us?
It's so good. Yeah. Roller, they have this back and forth where Roller's like, because of course Rod is like, what the fuck are you talking about? And Roller's like, well, okay, Brainstorm's going to turn the Wands Beam outwards so it covers all of Necroworld. Why don't we do that to Luna 2 with the teleporter? Like, we could teleport the whole moon.
Yeah, let's just teleport the whole moon.
And it's this perfect, I really appreciate how Jack, and I don't know if, again, I guess we have to wait till we see the scripts to know for sure or just get confirmation. I don't know if this was James's direction or Jack's choice, but it's so cute. Roller has like, you know how like the moon looks teeny tiny when you put your like fingers up?
it's like the kids in the hall, I'm crushing your head bit.
Yeah. He's like,
he's crushing the moon's head.
He's crushing the moon's head. And it's very cute. It's a very good little artistic detail there. But Brainstorm hears him say that. Like, what if we teleport the entire moon?
No, he hears somebody say that. He's like, Rod, write down whoever's name that is so I can give them a treat when they come back.
They're definitely getting a Brainstorm treat when they come back. And Rod's like, okay, great. Okay, this is... What if Luna 2... We would just destroy Necroworld.
Wouldn't we crash the moon into Necroworld? And of course, no, idiot.
Nope.
Because we're going to put it inside Necroworld.
Brainstorm, I love it. Also, we're going to put Luna 2 inside of the planet. This is getting kooky, even for James. Like, oh my god, this is kooky levels.
Kooky is a good word for it.
This whole thing has gotten to just, just absolute ridiculous levels of kooky. But this is what we're going for. Rod is we can see he's very excited in this next panel. He wants to know, he asks Clicker, where's the nearest matter transporter? And Clicker starts to be like, well, I mean, it's like 5 minutes away. And before he can say anything else, Rod links arms with him and he's like, great, let's go. And it's really cute. I like it. I like it a lot. He says quid pro quo again because he doesn't know what it means.
And then let's get those emotions going, everybody. Terminus is like, hey, I'm gonna stay here. And Megatron is like, I gotta talk to you about that first. Rod, go on ahead. Rod is like, no.
Nope. You're coming with me. He grabs Megatron's arm. Like, I imagine he's like linking arms with Clicker in one and is like, nope. And like reaches out, grabs Megatron.
We're off to see
the
wizard, boys.
Come on, boys. We're all gonna go see this wizard. His name is Brainstorm. Come with me. And it's a really good moment, naturally. Because Megatron's like, no, for real, I just need a minute. And Rod is very angry. He's very like, no. And he even says, I know what you're up to, Megatron.
Right. I get it. You're trying to do the sacrifice thing. You're an Autobot now. It kind of gets in your head.
Even like, it's almost like you're trying to do the sacrifice, but also, and we get a little bit more of this later, like, you're not getting out of this. Because somewhere, I feel like Rod...
Right, they've had this conversation.
Right, like he...
The whole reason Megatron is here is to account for his crimes.
Yes, so he kind of comes to terms with his feelings about Megatron by masking it behind, I need to get him to his trial.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we all know, come on.
He's there for the kisses.
He loves him. But of course, he does have a scapegoat. He is able to say, no, if anything like this happens, it's Megatron trying to get out of it. And yeah, so that's it's a little from column A, a little from column B, and Megatron promises him. He calls him captain. It's very
right.
sweet.
He goes for the low blow. He goes for Rod's weakness.
But not in a way that, like, other people have gone for Rod's weakness.
Right.
At least I feel.
He's deferring to Rod by calling him captain, which is all Rod has ever wanted.
He wants to be captain, and he promises. He says, "You have my word," and he looks very sincere in this panel. And then we get a really great panel of Rod just pouting Thomas right up at him. But he gives him. He says, "Okay, 1 minute," and he takes off with Clicker.
And we will find out what happens next later.
Later. First, baby time.
Let's check in on
let's see how this baby's going.
Making a toaster oven.
We're going to make this toaster lug. And Velocity's like, well, how do we know if this is working?
Right. How is this? How you do this a lot?
She doesn't have any sort of, she doesn't know. And Annette is saying, like, okay, she's kind of explaining as she goes. She's saying, if we can get it stabilized, if this protoform can hold heat, great. And essentially, they'll find the basic shape, and in a day or two, it will find the final form, and we'll be good. And Kaput is kind of working with her. She needs Kaput to watch the temperature, and he's saying, it's good. Nope, never mind, it's dropping.
It's getting bad.
He's
like, do you want me
concerned.
To turn up the thermostat?
Yeah, what do I do? Do I make the room hotter? I don't know what to do. And she says, nah, this is on me. I got this. And
it needs a special type of heat.
Yeah, she's just focusing very, very hard.
She just pours Tabasco sauce all over
she's
it.
She's just like, I got
just
this.
Just really getting that flavor.
Just really just get that spiciness to love.
Just a place of birth flavor town.
Lug of flavor town. You were born successfully.
Boy.
let's not wish that upon her.
They keep that going. Let's cut back to the cog, shall we?
One more time. So yeah, they get to,
I guess this isn't the cog. This is teleporting.
This is somewhere else. Yeah, so they find the transport, the matter transporter.
Right, and the clicker's like, oh, it's broken.
I'm like, oh shit, this doesn't even work. And 9 of 12 is like, who cares? There's another one. Just real close.
Right.
Come on, let's go. Let's
run. Like when you hit a door in Castlevania and you're like, okay, I got to backtrack. How far do I got to go? And they're like, there's one right here.
Just go. Just keep going. And so they do. They pick up. They run to the next one. And we can see it starts out being a very sweet farewell between Megatron and Terminus here. And they're parting ways. And Terminus is still trying. Like we saw this earlier. He was kind of like, Megatron, we could both stay here, like in this world, and help it. Because, of course, Terminus didn't live through the war.
Right.
He didn't,
exactly.
He didn't experience everything that Megatron has experienced. He didn't experience what Megatron became. So in his mind, he's saying, whatever you did, let's stay here and try it again.
Let's get it right this time.
Yeah. And so he's kind of making that pitch again, and Megatron's still standing with what we know Rod is kind of keeping in the back of his mind to, like, keep himself motivated here with Megatron. But he's saying, like, if Megatron feels like if he doesn't go forward and get his trial, that he won't, like, that would be him cheating everybody else out of something.
Right. And Terminus is saying, like, wait, I don't care what you're saying. Hold on for a minute. And he's getting a message on
his
beeper from Roller.
Yeah. Roller calls him. He's like, hey, what up? Change of plans. And he tells Terminus something. And Terminus says, okay, got it. We're on our way. And he grabs hold of Megatron. He's like, they're about to go. We got to go. And they start running. And then, oh no, there's an explosion near them.
Rung goes down.
Big giant Rung, who we did see in the background of their little goodbye. We could see him still fighting Luna 2. And hey, this is something I never wanted to see. Look at our sweet little boy. He
done gone got shredded.
He's destroyed.
He is
little
in parts.
Sweet Rung. Yeah, he's in parts. Don't do that. And Terminus is like, we can't help him. He's gone. Let's go. And we can see, of course, the rest of the Megatrontourage have found this other transporter. And Rod is like, where is he? Where is he? Where's Megatron? And Minimus asks if they know where they are. And Roller says, I told him.
Again, I will be your number one source for this. Both Rewind and Roller in this panel doing some magic Mike pelvic thrusts out of context. If you just take away the word bubbles and save for the moment, everybody.
I've not seen Magic Mike, but I imagine, and don't tell me if I'm wrong, just put some glitter around them, like confetti. That's and maybe put right. like a boa on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love, God, Roller, you're so big. Look at that big boy.
He's a big boy. Got shoulders.
Got those real big shoulders. But yeah, they're all kind of waiting. And he's saying, like, no, I gave them exact coordinates. And we have 9 of 12 being like, well, I mean, at least, we got the moon.
There'll be no resistance because it's remote controlled, which is nice.
Yeah. Always nice. A good backup there. And, but yeah, Clicker's essentially like, okay, listen, if you guys are going to go, it has to be right now. And Roller's fine with it. He's like, okay, let's just go without him. Like, I don't. And this is where then things get interesting very quickly. Because Rod says, we're not going to go without Megatron. And then he says, he's not playing us like this. And then we have Minimus say, I agree, we can't let him get away. Which part of me is like, oh, right. I mean, yes, exactly. We can't let Megatron avoid his trial.
Yeah, we need to stick it to him for sure.
That's Minimus' take on this. Like, oh, shit, right. Yes, definitely.
That's what I meant.
That's for sure. But he does say, we can't let him get away. And Rod says, hold up, what? And there it is. Minimus said the words, get away. And if there's one thing you can count on with Rod, boy holds a grudge.
The man does not like getaway.
He does not like getaway. And he's like, let's get out of here. And you can tell he says it like that because the word bubble is dripping.
He would rather annihilate getaway than see Megatron brought to justice.
There you go.
That's priorities.
This is how Rodimus works. This is how he functions. So he's like, okay, everybody, get in the minivan. We're going. And he's throwing a last thanks to Clicker. Thanks for having us, he says. Always a polite guest, that Drift.
It was a lovely roast.
I loved it. It was great. Good luck with this whole battle. This is going to suck.
Good luck with your whole liberation movement.
Yeah, good luck with this entire planet-wide, you know, all this.
Enjoy that. Wish you the best.
Definitely. And Rod's like, okay, yeah, you boys.
Let's kick it.
Take us home. And they do. And we get this really cool panel-by-panel shot of the boys being transported. P.S. Roller, you look great. And then in the next one, we can see Megatron showing up to the first malfunctioning matter transporter.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, beans. What a comedy of errors.
Beans. He runs out and he says, they're not in there. Terminus, they're not there. And then, shit.
Yeah, the moon is gone. And he's like, oh, damn, they left without me.
He looks so sad. And Terminus does not look sad. And he's like, they've given you a second chance. And then Megatron, remembering his marital vows with Ultra Magnus, is like, they had already done that.
Yeah, they sure did.
They sure did. He already had a second chance. His name was Ultra Magnus. So, well, that fucking sucks. They left Megatron. We cut, though, to...
The most important character in the comic, the whole reason we're here.
He's made it.
Don't worry, everyone. He's okay. That's what really matters.
Whirl is just fine.
Whirl is gonna make it through. A-okay.
And we see that they are not in the Functionist universe anymore.
Happy ending, if you ask me.
That's right. I don't know what it is. I just love these gigantic bots. Roller in the back. They all, like... fucking roll in, like, you imagine it's like slow-mo. There's like some like heavy bass song happening as they like
some Aerosmith.
Not what I was thinking, but sure, why not, as they roll into the Necrobot's house here. And Roller's in the back. He's got the two thumbs up, like, yeah, check us out, we're great.
We did.
Spock gets very excited to greet everyone. He says, "Welcome back, captains," because he's mostly a sweet boy and knows he has two captains, but nah, not anymore. Then we do get a quick little panel of Drift wordlessly just grabbing up Rung and a hug. And y'all, that's precious.
Is that Drift? I thought that was Ratchet.
Sorry, did I say Drift? I meant Ratchet. They're both same wearing, guy. Like... They're wearing very similar colors.
And Roller is saying, like, what do we miss? And it is saying, like, oh, I brought someone back to life. That's, yeah. Like, my thing.
Look at this, like, reborn girl on my back.
Check it out. I'm making Look a new this backpack. Look at this cute backpack. Yeah. I sewed this backpack today.
At the moment, it's one of those, if you will all recall those 90s backpacks that were teeny tiny my friends and I would wear. And someday she'll be like a big Jansport, but right now she's just one of those little teeny tiny 90s backpacks.
That'll be her name, is Janice Sport.
There you go.
And I do love Brainstorm.
Oh, God.
Rod says, you are phenomenal. Brainstorm's like, no, yeah, I know. Where's Megatron?
Seriously, Brainstorm, I can't properly state how grateful I am that your confident ass exists and that it's still in our party. Again, thank goodness.
What a good robot.
He's so good. Thank God for Brainstorm. And I love it because then he says, hey, where's Megatron? And Rod gets the same look he had when Minimus said, getaway. Rod, pissed off at getaway, pissed off at Megatron.
He's like, damn, I can't believe I let him get away. Damn, getaway.
Damn it. Oh, shit. I can't. He just can't decide where
his
heart is.
It's a cycle. It's an Incredible Hulk situation.
Oh, shit. But, yeah, Rodimus, you can go ahead and pout on your own time. We gotta hop back over to where you left your boy. And so we go back over to the Functions universe underneath Nova Point, which I do want to just call out. That is huge. Megatron originally worked the mines beneath Nova Point, and he stood on Nova Peak to make his declaration on Declaration Day, which was essentially the shot heard around Cybertron and, like, the rally for the Decepticons to rise up. So I appreciate very much that this is where we find ourselves right now.
And he's giving a very impassioned speech about how this is one of hundreds of cells all across the planet that are going to join together and resist the council and create a new future that is going to be exactly what needs to be. It's going to do it right this time.
Right. This is essentially what Megatron of our known Cybertron wanted to do, but couldn't necessarily do. Like, now he can essentially take his book on tour and go to these places personally and kind of rally those who are, you know, being walked over and being stifled. And I do want to point out, and of course it's all just, like, really beautiful, and the Megatron that we know him to be now, past and future Megatron. And just kind of, like, reiterating, like, all of us have worth, everybody has worth, the council doesn't want you to believe it, but if we all believe it and if we all stick together, that's what we'll win this. And I do want to point out, in the second panel on this page, that's Glitch.
Yeah.
AKA the dude who became Tarn.
That's good old Tarn right there.
There he is. Empyrata victim. And even in this next panel, in the third panel there, we have a bot who looks a lot like Dominus Ambus. So it might not be him, but he at least has that same visored face.
Right.
So a lot of kind of a little bit of callback here and there.
I do like in the last panel that Megatron is saying, like, we need to reach out to the white moderates. I mean, people who have not yet been oppressed, and get them to listen and make them recognize that we are suffering and that, that functionism is not going to be something that supports you, and together we can overthrow the council and live as we see fit.
Yeah. It's essentially saying we have to convince more than the people who are being walked all over.
Right.
We have to convince those who were essentially born more privileged.
Teach until they are ready to learn, he says.
Yeah. Yeah. And there you go, Megatron. I believe in you. You're doing some good work here. And his final kind of statement here is peace through empathy, which of course is a different take on his former statement of peace through tyranny. And we see that kind of in a little box as he's looking. He's out on his own. He's looking up at the stars. You know he's thinking about, like, this is the face of a man who misses his husband and his idiot child. He's thinking about them. He looks pretty sad. He doesn't want to be here. Even if he's doing good.
It's a tough night.
Yeah. He's just looking at the stars. And then all of a sudden, that dang phone on his hip goes off. His
beeper goes off.
Well, shoot. Who could be calling him? And he picks up. And then you guys. Yeah. A voice. Somebody did call him. And this voice just says, Roller, is that you? And he just smiles. And you guys. We know. And so, a quick flashback in case anybody doesn't, in case anybody isn't sure of who that might be calling, I'm fairly certain it's Orion Pax, because earlier on when they got here, Roller kept saying he was trying to contact Orion Pax on his phone and he wasn't getting anybody. And now that Megatron has the phone, it would stand to reason Orion Pax has called back. And that smile suggests, right. And the red, all of it, yes, suggests that now we might get this unity of Megatron and Orion Pax that we just so narrowly missed.
And Megatron replies, nope, not Roller, wrong number, hangs up.
Bye! He slams that phone shut.
Block that call.
Just do not call here again. But yeah.
I don't want any.
No thanks, not taking any.
Very happy with my long distance service, thank you.
He is. It was better when he had another planet to call, and that planet's gone now. It is funny to me because they did transport all of Luna 2 to the Necroworld.
Inside Necroworld.
Right. So, like, that now lives inside of Necroworld, and all of that got transposed to a new universe. Just as a reminder.
Just filling everybody in there.
You know.
That's the end.
That's six.
We're done with Lost Light, everybody.
Forever. But no, that does finish off Dissolution, which we know was the first... Gosh, remember? Remember way back when? Like half a year ago? Over half a year ago, and we were like, okay, we're about to get into Lost Light, and we knew that there were going to be six issues and to kind of kick it off and get us where we needed to go. And yeah, we did it. We're here.
We did it, everybody.
We did it, everybody.
I'm proud of you.
So yeah. Good issue.
Great job.
Yeah, we'll see where this takes us. So now, I imagine we can expect to see more of, obviously, the Functionist universe in the future, because we left our boy there.
We finally get that team up book of Orion Pax and Megatron, attorneys at law, and also roommates.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's going to be just a kooky kind of sitcom kind of book.
Transformers: Perfect Strangers.
That's it. Somewhere James Roberts is furiously tearing out pages in a notebook and cursing us. Like, fuck you guys.
How did they call it?
How do they fucking know that's what I was going with?
I mean, the sitcom thing is one thing, but lawyers, I didn't even put lawyers, in hints for that.
He thought he had us. You can't fool us.
There you go, everybody. That's a good old comic right there.
It is a good old comic, and
I also have a list of good old people that I'd like to read.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and we'll probably get back to Swerve soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully, while we're there, we'll run into David Cabrera, Jay Riley, Samuel Jocks, Jacob Stevens, the Fifth Virtuoso, Kyle Schaefer, Bitty Bot Jazz, and Elizabeth Jackalope. That'd be cool.
So cool. We love you guys.
We'll get a pint.
Hell yeah.
Of Injex.
Yeah. Make mine a high grade, please.
If you want to join us, you can go to patreon.com/soundwav and kick in a buck or two, and it'll be a good old time.
Yeah, always is.
So that's I think going to do it for this week.
I think so.
Transformanauts, what's up?
Transformanauts, I got nothing.
Transformanauts, you need anything from the store?
Ooh, Transformanauts, will you pick me up some Halo Top?
Transformanauts, they got this new Pepsi that has ginger in it. You're really going to love it.
Yeah. Also, Transformanauts, go ahead and get yourself a treat. Here's an extra fiber.
Ooh, good.